We're in a teaching series in the book of John. And last week, Rich cried and whined. First thing I did when I got home, I listened to his teaching, and I believe his words were, Adam's going to be chagrined that I made mention that he made me teach 30 verses. And he only taught 2 the week before. Like I was getting off easy with something. And so I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to whine like Rich did. I'm going to whine like Adam does. Okay? But I want to thank Rich. Rich, that was awesome. Good stuff. Thank you for covering all of those trials and summing them up. So we're past the trials. In fact, I didn't even give Rich the verse that actually said they took Jesus to be crucified because I didn't want you guys to know what happened next. Okay? And I never want to act like you guys are stupid. I never want to act like you guys have a bunch of knowledge because I've ran into a ton of people since being in ministry here. I come from a small town where most people know Bible stories. Simple, basic Bible stories like Noah's Ark, story of Jesus. People know those things because they are just, that's what you do. You go to church because you're living in the middle of a cornfield and you don't know what else to do. So you go to church. So I never want to pretend that you guys know more than you do. And I never want to look down on you for not knowing these stories. That's okay. That's okay. We hope that this is an introduction to who Jesus is for you. We hope that you encounter Jesus in a really raw way here. So with this, Pilate, last week, this whole time we've been talking in John, Jesus hits the scene. Jesus is God's son. Jesus is God in the flesh sent here to make things right between us and God. Because we as human beings do a good job of messing everything up. Because we're prideful, selfish, all those awesome things. So Jesus is now come and is telling us a better way. He grabs these disciples, he grabs these followers and says, this is how you need to live. And all these miraculous things happen within John. All these healings happen, all these people encountering Jesus, encountering love, encountering grace, encountering mercy happen within this book of John. And John writes and he says, the only reason I've written these things is that you might believe in the person of Jesus Christ, that you might believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is God, that he is our sacrifice, that he is these things. So that's what we come to. We come out of these trials, and the Jews are angry, the Jews are upset, the Jews are mad because he is challenging their belief system. He's challenging what they believe by coming and fulfilling prophecy. The Jews were waiting for this massive hostile takeover in this kingdom to come because the Jews have had a raw deal from the beginning. The Jews have been in captivity a lot. They've been slaves. They've never really had their own. And so their idea of what this Jesus coming meant was there's going to be a hostile takeover and we're going to be supreme. The Jews will be on top this time. And Jesus comes in this very unassuming way, and Jesus comes in this way that doesn't look anything like they had hoped. And so when Jesus starts telling them things and saying, I'm the guy that you're waiting for, no. No, you're a hobo that has people following you. You're not the guy we're looking for. So they get angry, they get riled up because they continue to ask him the question, who are you? And he continues to tell them the same thing. I'm God here on the earth. And what you're doing is wrong. The way in which you're living is wrong. The way in which you're living out the kingdom is wrong. It's very rule-based. It's very strict. It's very rigid. It's very lacking of love, very lacking of grace, lacking of mercy. And they get angry. So they take him in front of Pilate. They take him in front of all these different trials, as you heard from Rich last week. And they're crying out that Jesus be murdered. Hey, can you convict this guy? Because they have to go to the high court. That would be like us. That would be like you taking me to the courthouse right now and crying, we want him dead. Which, just wait till I'm done talking, and then that's fine. We can go do that. But that's what they did. They go to the high court, and they say, we want them dead. And Pilate can't find anything wrong with Jesus. Nothing. Nothing to convict, nothing to actually bring a murder charge against him. And that's where we're picking up here in John. If you guys have a Bible, I want you reading with me. If you do not have a Bible and you've never had a Bible, or you just had a Bible and gave it away. We have Bibles to give you out front, out on those tables. Please take one. Please use one. Please read one before you get here on Sunday mornings. Please read the story of John with us as we go. We don't want this to be the first time you're hearing it, all right? So there's also awesome apps on your phone that you can use. So we want you to read along with us. It'll be on the screen as well. And it says this. This is the verse that Rich couldn't teach last week. So he delivered him over. By him means Jesus. Pilate delivered Jesus over to be crucified. And crucifixion is this horrific death that you die by being asphyxiated on this torture instrument. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull. I kind of like that name. It's cool. Which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, hanging between two criminals. And then there's Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews who read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill Scripture, which says, they divided my garments among them. For my clothing, they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was finished, everything that he came to do has been finished, said to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So normally this is a real sad teaching. Normally this is a real somber teaching. Normally this is a real bad moment in history. And normally it's something that the church is just, you know, they would normally show you the Passion of the Christ to get you to cry, to get you to really feel the impact and the weight of what's going on. But yes, the crucifixion happened. Yes, Jesus, everything that he's talked about from John 1 up until this point, everything that he's done at that moment, at that crucial moment, he says, I thirst. And once he takes a drink, they say, it's finished. Everything I've come to do, everything I've come to say, everything I've come to fulfill is done right now. And he bows his head, and then he gives up his spirit willingly. No one took his life. No one put him to death. He gave it up. Just like all these prophecies, just like all these things that we talked about earlier, and it says, just like prophesied, you're talking about Psalm 22, where you start hearing about the clothes being divided, the clothes being gambled for, that I'm thirsty. This stuff resides in Psalm 22. You can go read that. It's in the Old Testament. It's written by David. So all of this is prophesied about Jesus, and Jesus comes, and all of this happens and is fulfilled right at that moment, and Jesus said, it's finished. But what I find most intriguing about this story is not the it's finished, not that Jesus came and died for me, and that is incredibly important, mind you. Don't miss that importance. But what I find most important is the sign that was made by Pilate. that caused controversy within the Jews. Normally these signs were put on the cross. This isn't a one-off thing. It wasn't just because Jesus was special. It was a sign that actually gave your crime and your sentence as to what you did and to why you're dying and hanging there so people could actually see you and know what you did. Oh yeah, he totally deserves that. And so Jesus, this long-awaited God coming to earth, this long-awaited bringing the kingdom, this long-awaited everything the Jews missed and didn't understand, is now hanging on a cross with a sign above his head that says, he is the King of the Jews, and the Jews are angry about this. The Jews are mad. Don't say that. Say he says he's the King of the Jews. And if we want to reduce this stuff down to the most basic form, this whole chapter, this whole experience here, it's who do you say Jesus is? That's it. Pretty simple, huh? I thought about having you guys all write down honestly who you thought Jesus was at the very beginning on a piece of paper, whether you thought he was a fraud, whether you thought he was a good man, whether you believed whether he was a God in the flesh or not, whether you believed he is who he says he is. And I thought about getting that kind of stuff going, and I thought, you know, no. We don't have to make it this difficult. We don't have to make it this hard. Who do you say Jesus is right now? That's who John is saying. You need to know this man. That's who John, the only reason John wrote this book and talked about all these incredible things of Jesus is so that you would know him and that you would believe in him and that you would know who he is and what he did. Larry stole my thunder this morning. He actually went and started reading out of the first chapter in John, the first few verses. And I just sat over here smiling because I thought, why can't, if we would try to plan it this way, it wouldn't go that way. But of these things that flowed in my head, and this morning at like 6 in the morning, I put this down. And Pilate, whether he understood what he was doing or not, whether he understood that he was proclaiming Jesus as the King of the Jews, or whether he was just mocking them, there's parts in this story where it says Pilate was fearful. Pilate's wife had dreams. Pilate had some kind of foreknowledge of what was going on, and Pilate washes his hands of all of this stuff, as you heard last week, and says, I'm not going to be guilty of this guy being put to death. You know, you Jews, if you want to do that, so be it. I've beat him, I've flogged him, we've mocked him publicly, but man, if you're going to take him to death, that's going to be you. And then the sign, Jesus, King of the Jews, that's his crime. His crime was being exactly who they waited for. His crime was being exactly who they needed to listen to. His crime was being exactly Jesus, being exactly God, being this long-awaited kingdom. That was his crime, bringing them everything they had hoped for. And some of us look at this story, and that specifically is this crime being everything we hoped for, but the one last thing we want to actually take on, the last thing we want to experience, the last thing we want to say yes to is Jesus. Because Jesus comes down and challenges our way of life, challenges our selfishness, which I'm going through right now within the last few weeks has been awful. Because God's actually pressing in on my spirit and saying, Adam, you are one of the most selfish people, and it's deep-rooted within you. And I've let you run unchecked in this for a long time, and now we're going to start dealing with it, and it's painful. It hurts. It's scary because I don't know who I'm going to be on the other side of it. But I don't want to encounter it. I don't want to give Jesus that permission. I don't want to give Jesus that kingly title. If he's a king and I'm a servant, then that means I got to serve. And so Jesus, you can be king here over this. We're pretty good in this area, you know. God, you've done everything that you needed to do in me in this area, so I'll let you have that kingship title here. But over here, you're not king. No way. Over here, I'm king. over here in my justified anger. It was really funny. I was riding with Caleb Hebert. I'm going to throw him under the bus. We were going out hunting. I've never been hunting in my life, so I wore bright yellow, and I brought a stereo, and we just bumped music all the time. We didn't see any elk that we were hoping for. There's a reason for that. I just talked really loud, like I'm talking now. It was great. It was great. But my wife is always looking at me when I'm driving around town, and my anger, she made some mention of it last night, and it was really great. It was really nice. But I said, yeah, you think I'm bad? You should have rode with Caleb Hebert. We're riding up to Saratoga, and I remember sitting there quiet, and Caleb's driving, and these cars, I would have been livid if I was the one driving. But Caleb is just stuck behind these slow cars, and there was no like wildlife out on the road or anything. They're just 19 miles an hour up the summit. And we've got to get to the blind, the hunting blind. So there's like this window where these elk come and eat and you can kill them. It's awesome. It's totally fair. And Caleb is just like, get out of my way. Why are you driving so? And I just sat there quiet. I'm like, man, he's really angry. I'm like, no, this is you at any given moment. This is you at any given moment at home with your children. This is you at any given moment. So then again, God starts pressing in. So I had to just sit there quiet. Because I justify these things. God, you're king here, you're not king here. Jesus, I love you here enough to change, but I don't love you here enough to put the work in. Not there yet. Nope. And so the basic, most basic thing in this is, who do you say Jesus is? I'm going to read what Larry already read this morning. We're going to stop at verse 12, and it says this. This is a whole introduction to Jesus coming. This is a whole introduction to what John, the writer of this book, was proclaiming. This is the whole introduction to what John baptized people and just kept saying, you think this is something? Wait, there's someone coming. This is the only reason I'm here on earth, is to proclaim that Jesus is coming, the Savior is coming. This long-awaited thing that's going to take away sin and make things right with God, he's coming. He writes this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking of Jesus here. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Jesus made everything. Everything that was made through Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life, and in the life was the light of men and women. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness of these justified anger outbursts. The light shines in the darkness of my own selfishness and my own pride, and it hurts because there's things that are exposed now. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's the one writing this book. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, talking about Jesus, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He's talking to Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. The world doesn't understand what's going on. The world is in upheaval. The world is angry because their ways are being threatened by Jesus. He came to his own, and his own people, the Jews, did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not out of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I hope you guys are catching this. Who do you say Jesus is right now in this moment? Maybe your verdict's out still. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're a person that says, Jesus, you are King. Jesus, you are Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love everything about you, Jesus. And maybe you hold stuff back from him. Maybe you're just like me in that. Maybe this is the first time you've heard the Jesus story. Maybe this is the first time you've understood anything about Jesus. Maybe the Spirit's pressing in on you right now and telling you exactly who Jesus is. And He's asking you to respond to who Jesus is. He's asking you to finally submit and tap out and say, you know what? This is your answer. Just as it was the Jews' answer, just as they needed to hear and have Jesus, this is your answer. The one thing you've been rejecting this whole time, the one thing that you've been reluctant to snag, to bring in, is the one thing that you need. Maybe that's you. This Jesus came, this Jesus did miraculous things, this Jesus died. And it doesn't stop there, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of the good news for you and I. Us Gentiles. I'm not excluding any Jews in the room, but I'm guessing most of you are Gentiles. We're not going to do any kind of check. Some of you will get that. Oh, now you're... Something caught on. It was like a wave. But this is the hope. This is the only reason Whitewater exists. This is the only reason we do what we do. This is the only reason we throw block parties. This is the only reason we love people. This is the only reason we care for people, is because Jesus cared for us first. And because God said, look, you guys are screwing this up so bad, I got to come down and I got to be this for you. I have to come be the sacrifice for you. And I'll do it willingly. Why? Because I love you. I've always loved you. And the only thing I've ever wanted with you is relationship, for you to be loved by me and for you to love me. That's it. It's so simple and so basic. So instead of saying, Jesus says He's the King of the Jews, Jesus says He's King, will you say this morning that Jesus is King? God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for the story of John and what he's penned about the life of Jesus. We thank you for just this horrific scene that we read about between last week and this week as he went through all these trials and unjustly faced this terrible sentence. And it's all because he claimed, and he was, God. Coming down, showing us how to live, coming down, showing us how the correct way to love people is, the correct way to give grace was, the correct way to live with one another is. That was his crime. So God, for us that have come with doubts, God, for us that have come with not knowing who you are, not caring who you are, God, again, I pray for the impossible. I pray that you speak this morning. Speak through their deafness. Speak through them even trying to talk over you in this moment. God, speak that they might be able to claim that you are King of their lives. God, for those that claim that and yet hold everything back from you and keep everything from you and run unchecked in selfishness, run unchecked in anger, run unchecked in all these ways of judgment and how they handle living in relationship with their neighbors and their spouses and their children and everything else, God. Weed that out. Press in. God, as they hear from you, as they understand these things, and as they say, you know, I know this is wrong, but, God, remove that but. God, replace it with an and. God, I know this is wrong, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to be obedient. I want to change in this area. God, just like John and his disciples recognized and the people that were watching Jesus be crucified recognized and his disciples who even doubted him from time to time recognized that you are King that you are who you say you are. May we join in that. It started thousands of years ago. God, may we be faithful to that. May we allow it to change us from the inside out. May we be able to pen the same things that John penned about Jesus being the light, being the love, being everything that we need. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.